Greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord. It has been a tremendous blessing for me to be here this morning. I was just blessed with the thoughts that Brother Mose brought and Brother Paul. I was tremendously blessed with the song service. I probably won't find the, but just numerous hymns that we sang this morning about the church, the unity of the church, and I think it'll go along with the words that God has given me, even though it's not necessarily talking about, I'm not necessarily going to be talking about a unity. But I want to talk about love this morning. And I don't think that we have any more unity in our brotherhood than we have love one for another. And so there's a lot of thoughts that worked in my heart as we sing those hymns this morning. So I was just really, really blessed. I do want to also bless the fathers this morning. This is a special day that is set aside for fathers, Father's Day. And may God help us as daddies to bless our children and to be the fathers in the home that we need to be as we prepare for eternity. So I'm thankful for each of you this morning. I would like to kneel and have a word of prayer this morning. Oh God, as we bow here in your presence this morning, I feel my tremendous need of you, oh Lord. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you have put eternity in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you have put within us something that wants to prepare ourselves to be with you. And we can either resist that or we can continue to draw our hearts to yourself. We're thankful, Father, for those words this morning. We do also pray, Lord, as we continue to look into your word, that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would draw our hearts to yourself, O God. We are in great need of you, Lord. And we want you to move in our midst, Father. We do, as was shared, that we want to be more like our God, more like our Father, to prepare ourselves to be like him. And Lord, may that be the case as we continue on with the message here this morning. May it be something that would draw our hearts to be more like you, O Lord. So, Father, we thank you for this time. I do pray that you take my thoughts. Watch over my thoughts. Watch over my words, Lord. Watch over the motives of my heart. Father, I don't want to say anything that would be less than what you want me to say, Lord. I just want to lift up your word here this morning, and I want you to be glorified and honored. So we ask, Lord, that your word would be alive into our hearts here and just transform us to your glorious image. We do worship you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're grateful again. I had another thought there with what Paul shared. He said that the word world, there where he was reading, is translated, or is the Greek word of it would be eternity. And I looked over into the Spanish, and it uses the word eternity in Spanish. So I just thought that was a blessing. So for the last while, I've been reading through John. And there is two verses that has stuck out to me and have tremendously challenged my life. And so this morning, I'm not here necessarily preaching to you all, but just sharing. Even though I might use the words you, I'm sharing those things that God has been trying to do in my own life. So it's in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And we'll read those two verses and then we'll make some comments. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." The title that I have for the thoughts this morning that God has given me is "The Proof of Being a Disciple." The proof of being a disciple. And I think by now most of you know that as I read scripture, I start asking myself questions about what I read. And so I'm going to start out with that again this morning. Does the world know whose disciple I am? By the way that I love each one of you here, does the world know that? Does the world know that I'm a part of a brotherhood that loves each other this way? What am I doing that would prove to the world that I love you and am his disciple? Or what am I not doing that would prove that? Jesus said, "As I have loved you." So the question comes, how does Jesus love me? Is there any resemblance in the love that how Jesus loved me to the way that I love you all? Is there any resemblance of that in my life at all? There should be. So you can see a little bit where, by the questions that I ask myself on where we want to go is with the message. We're going to start with point one, and it is a new commandment. A new commandment. It starts out in verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you." So Jesus here is giving us a new commandment, a commandment that has never been taught in God's word before. Now I think that if they would have truly had a heart after God, they would have probably sensed that in God's heart. But this is something new that has never been taught before, a new commandment. What is that new commandment? What was the old commandment? You know, sometimes by looking at the old commandment, we can see the new more clearly. A new commandment, never been taught before. You know, this is right after the foot washing. This is right after the Last Supper. This is right after Judas went out from among the disciples there. This is in the same chapter following that. I don't know what all that means, but this is right after that. Why does that matter? So Jesus here is trying to prepare the disciples' hearts, I believe. And tomorrow, Jesus dies. Tomorrow, Jesus will be crucified. And he's saying, "I'm giving you a new commandment. Tomorrow, Jesus will be crucified. Tomorrow will be the greatest act of love that man has ever seen. Tomorrow. So let's look a bit at the old commandment and see what Jesus is saying, a little bit on the difference of the new commandment and the old commandment. And for that, I would like to turn to Matthew 5. Verses 38 to 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, and it says, "And ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him take thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." It goes right with what Paul shared there about the tornadoes. "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So in the Old Testament, in the Old Commandment, it had everything to do with being fair. You know, if you came and you punched me and you knocked out my tooth, I had the opportunity to punch you back and knock your tooth out. That was the old law. That was the old commandment. If you gave me a kick, I was allowed to give you one back. But Jesus is saying, a new commandment I give unto you. Something different, something new. A new commandment I give unto you. Well, we can say, you know, that has to do with our enemies. He was talking about the enemies there. Well, who was Jesus talking to there? He was talking to the Israelites. He wasn't saying, you know, when the Philistines come and knock one of your teeth out, you're allowed to go back to the Philistines and knock one of their teeth out. No, he's talking about Israel to Israel, brother to brother there. He's not talking about a Babylonian. If a Babylonian comes in and kicks you, you can go kick him back. But he's saying, he was talking to Israel. So he is talking in the same realm here. We're looking at a brotherhood here. He was looking at Israel. You know, in the old commandment, if somebody wanted you to go with him a mile, or wanted you to do something, you was only expected to go so far. You didn't have to go with him more than a certain space. And Jesus is telling us here by saying to go with him twain is not just saying you have to just go to 2 miles, but he's saying go as far as you need to win your brother, to do whatever. And it goes a little bit that way with me as a son to my father, as children to myself. You know what our heart is. You don't necessarily have to stop with what commandments we give you, but you can go beyond that. Go beyond that. You know, if mom tells you to wash the dishes, and she doesn't say anything about drying them and putting them away, by washing the dishes, you obeyed your mother. Going the second mile is wiping them and putting them away. It's going beyond what the actual commandment is, but it's learning to know what the heart of your parents are, learning to know what the heart of God is. You know what is expected, but this is going the extra mile. This is going beyond that. Verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." And verse 44 tells us, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, We see the difference. One was, you was commanded to love your neighbor. The other one is no longer to just love your neighbor, but also your enemy. It's going beyond. It's going, it's loving more. There's a new commandment here. Verse 45, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, as for he maketh the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. For if we love them which, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? So this is a new commandment. This is now loving those that despitefully use us, loving those that are unlovable. And again, he's not just talking about Israelites to the Philistines. These things happen in brotherhoods. They happen in our settings. They just do. And then ultimately, verse 48 gives us a real good picture of what God really wants. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And again, does Jesus ask of us anything that he doesn't give us the power to do? He gives us the grace to be perfect like our Father is in heaven if we really want it. But it will cost us everything. In all our relationships, we are to be perfect as God is perfect. By the way, this is not just a suggestion. It is a new commandment. The new commandment is being like Jesus, loving those that do not deserve to be loved, loving those that hate us. The word commandment is, in the Greek, it means a regulation, an order that has authority, or prescription. And so as I think of those words there, so it's a regulation. So if there's a regulation, there's also a regulator, right? What is my regulator set at, or what is my regulator showing on this new commandment? What is it? What is my regulator set at? Prescription. You know, a doctor gives prescriptions. Jesus Christ is the doctor. He has prescribed to us that this is what we should do. How are we doing with our prescription? A few thoughts that come to my mind. Second point we want to look at is, what is a disciple? So if you look up the word disciple in the Greek, you come up, it gives us these words here. A committed learner. A committed pupil. Or a committed follower. You know, if we're committed to something, where does that stop? Where is the end of our commitment? A disciple, a committed follower, obviously, of Jesus Christ. So how committed are we? Are we committed enough that if God shows us something, we can change? Is my life an evidence that I'm a disciple? At what point could I be forced out of being that? How committed am I? At what point can I be forced out? Is there anything that stops us? We know that, you know, we know of our Anabaptist forefathers. They tried, they killed them, they did many things to them. And they were committed. How committed am I? We know that they could not separate them from the love of Christ. That's impossible. So it's not about God's part, it's about our part. How committed are we? Someone who you know that hates you. Can you go with him the extra mile? And that's not the end of the question. It's easy to say, yes, I can do that. The question really is that my life today? Is the evidence in my life today, is that how I practice? Is that how I order my life? Not just can I say it, but is that actually something that I'm doing? If I was to stand on Jesus Christ's judgment trial seat today, would I be found one who does that? Go the extra mile with someone who hates me. We live in a world where it's easy to say yes, but not very many doers. Someone who has offended you or has aught against you, am I known as one that leaves my gift at the altar and it stays there until it's all clear? Am I known as that kind of a person? A disciple. That's what we're talking about, a disciple. Someone who is actively learning from Jesus Christ and his life, actively following, committed to doing what it takes to be that kind of person. Think of thankfulness. Someone who speaks ill of us. Someone who is praying for his enemy. Someone who's always talking about Jesus. This is a disciple. A disciple knows that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so he makes choices in life to not get snared into that. A disciple, loving like Jesus loved. The question that I said that this was right after Judas left. How many of us would have got down on our knees and washed Judas's feet knowing that he's going to deny me? Could we do it? Could we do it? Jesus knew it, and he washed his feet. How are we doing? Are we a disciple? Does Jesus see me as a disciple? Are you and I committed? Can we bear our cross? Do we even want to be a disciple? You know, only the true disciples, as we heard about eternity this morning, will spend eternity with him. And we heard about hypocrites last week, and I had to think of anything else. Probably hypocrites. Disciples, again, if I was to stand before Christ's judgment seat, what would my verdict be this morning? A disciple? Would I be a disciple? Or would he come up with no evidence? Or maybe the evidence would be he's trying to be a disciple on his own strength. What would be the evidence if I was to be tried this morning? Third point we want to look at. It says, by this, and that is simply the third point, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So by this, by what? By this is the third point. By what? By love. So what is love? What is love? We live in a world that talks a lot about love, but what really is love? I'd like to turn to John chapter 21, and we want to read from 15 to 19. This is after Jesus has been crucified. This is after Jesus rose again from the dead. This is Peter had told the disciples, let's go fishing. And they were out on their boats and they toiled all night. And they didn't catch anything. And here comes Jesus walking on the water, or was there by the seashore as they came up that morning and he says, "Hey, bring meat. Let's fellowship here together. Bring meat." And they said, "We don't have anything." And he said, "Cast your nets on the other side." And they brought in a whole multitude of fish. More fish than they could handle. Right after this, we come to this verse 15, and it says, "So when they had dined, after they had brought those fish and they had a meal together, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Peter, follow me." This was after Peter had denied Jesus. This was after Peter had saw Jesus being crucified. This was after Peter had denied Jesus three times. And Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord. You know I love you." But you know those two words, love, the love that Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me?" is not the same Greek word as what Peter responded back to Jesus. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Two different words. Two different words, and this is what we want to, this is where we want to study. I asked the question, so what is love? What is love? We want to study these two words here and use the two lives as an example of what that might mean. You know, first, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And I think he meant by the rest of the disciples. Do you love me more than the rest of the disciples love me? Why would Jesus ask Peter that question? Jesus told his disciples that they're all going to be offended at him before he died, right? And Peter said in Matthew 26, verse 33, "Peter answered and said and saith unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And Jesus is just bringing those words back to Peter's mind again and saying, "Peter, do you really love me more than all the rest of these?" So Peter had a pretty high view of himself. Peter had a very high view of himself. He had a wrong view. So Jesus asked Peter, after he had denied him three times, "Peter, do you say that you love me more than the rest of these?" Peter didn't answer and say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you more than the rest of these," but he simply said, "You know that I love you." Now Jesus asked Peter about it. He didn't respond back to Peter with that same love as Peter responded, but he asked him again, "Do you love me?" See, the word that Jesus, the love that Jesus used, doesn't always come with feeling. The word that Jesus used there in love doesn't always, we don't always feel like loving. Do you think that Jesus felt like loving those when they hung him on the cross there? Do you think he felt the great affection to those that were killing him? I don't think so. I don't think so. This love does not always come by feeling. It can have feeling and it will have feeling. But it's more than just feeling. Peter, the response that Peter gave him was, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I have feeling and affection for you." But that stops at some point. He was committed to loving Jesus to a certain point. But then he denied him. When the going really, really got tough, Peter denied Jesus. See, Peter's word, love, is something that married couples, even unconverted, can do. There can be affection and feeling. Does Jesus love us? Absolutely. Did he love those that crucified him? Yes, he did. And he got nothing in return. So one seeks something back while the other gives freely. If Peter would have loved Jesus the way that Jesus loved Peter, Peter would not have been afraid to say, "Yes, I'm his disciple. I'm one of his." He wouldn't have been afraid to do so. But he was afraid. He loved him as long as the going was good. And we're very thankful that later in life, Peter did take up his cross and went all the way to the cross. He learned. He learned. Peter had feelings of love towards Jesus, but not enough to take up his cross and follow Jesus at that point, even though later in life we're very, very grateful that he did. But we're trying to understand love here. The love Peter uses here is a feeling of feelings and affections. There are many married couples that love each other this way. But what about when the rubber really hits the road? What if my spouse, what if my wife says something wrong to me? What is my response back? This is the kind of love that we're talking about. Now the feelings are gone. I just got hurt. I got hurt by words. Now my spouse hurt me by my words. How do I love my spouse back? Do I say something to hurt her back? Or how's my response? We're looking at love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Do I say words of blessing, or do I have self-pity? You know, by my response tells me how which love I actually have. You know, if I have only the love with feelings, or if I have the love that is going to go all the way to the cross. So Jesus asked Peter the third time. He uses Peter's word for love. I don't know that I understand everything that Jesus was doing here, but it's sobering. At what point am I willing or not willing to follow Jesus? Determines my love for him. See, the love that Peter had for Jesus could still deny him. But the love that Jesus had for Peter died for Peter. The love that Jesus had for Peter went all the way till death. All the way to the cross. Where's my regulator set at this morning? All the way till death, to every one of you here this morning? Do I love you enough? This question that came to my mind. Do I love you enough that I would be willing to die for each and every one of you after you would have crucified me? Do I love you in that way? That's the kind of love that Jesus was asking Peter if he had for him. Peter couldn't say that he did. Later in life, you proved that he had that. Or are we more like Peter? You know, when things are good, we just all get along with it. It's all just good. Is that a little bit how it is? When nobody rubs me the wrong way, love just kind of flows in our midst. What kind of love do I have for the brothers and the sisters here? How is it in my life? Do I speak bad or degrading to anyone in here? If things don't go my way or your way, what goes on in our heart? Is there frustration or irritation or love like Jesus loved on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing." If I had been put on trial this morning on how I love you, as our third point is, by this, our love one for another, how would it be? If Jesus was to judge me for the love that I have for you, what would he find in my life? What would he find in my life? Am I making it clear? Do we see the difference between these two loves? It's important that we do. One has feelings, and the other one can have feelings, but don't necessarily have to have feelings. It's a committed love that will go all the way to death for my brother. Not just if I feel like it, but will go all the way there. One has strings attached, and the other one does not. You know, Peter learned. He learned to follow Jesus. He went all the way to his own cross and died. What about me? What about you? By this, by our love, by our life, the way that we live shows us what kind of love we have. You know, this morning I had to think also, if I had a choice, or if you had a choice to go and do anything you wanted to today, and no one would look down at you, you wouldn't feel condemned for not being here. If you could go do whatever that you please today, whatever you wanted, what would you choose to do today? What would you choose to do today? What would I choose to do? Would I choose to stay home in bed? Is that what I would choose? Would I choose to come here if no one else showed up here? Would I choose to go play ball? Would I choose to go shopping? Would I choose to go out and eat? Would I go hunting or fishing? Would I go on a trip? Would I stay home and play on my phone? Maybe I have other friends that I would like to go hang out with. What would I choose to do? And we know in our heart what that would be. If I don't choose to be here, if I'm here because I have to be here, we have a problem. We have a problem. We have a problem. It will not stand in eternity. It will not stand in eternity. It won't. If I don't love you enough that I want to be here with you today, each and every one of you, no one excluded, I have a problem. By this shall the whole world know that we're his disciples or that we're not his disciples? By this. If a gun was to be placed on my head this morning to deny not just a whole group of you, but any one of you, all of you or a single one of you, maybe the one that I struggle with the most, would I take the bullet or would I deny him? How much do I love you? Jesus went to the cross. What would be the evidence of my love? Do I really have the love of Jesus? Or do I just love with feelings? And as long as there's no big bumps along the way, everything will be okay. Which one? How do I love you? So the fourth point we want to look at is Jesus commands us to love each other with his love. There is going to be feelings. There's feelings that rise up in my heart as I think of some of you and different feelings on you know, the different interactions we have. Different feelings rise, okay? But not all the time is there feelings. I have hurt some of you. Some of you have hurt me. It's the way of life. It's just that simple. It's going to happen. We're to love each other with Jesus' love. There will be feelings at times, but not always. We are to love each other all the way to whatever death I must die to love each other. And it's often called agape love. And this morning I'm using it as Jesus' love. Anywhere in Scripture where we're commanded to love each other, it's always with the love that Jesus asked Peter about. Do you love me with that agape love that has no strings attached to it? It's that way with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There was no strings attached to that verse. He went all the way to the cross. Everywhere that we're commanded to love each other is with that kind of love. No strings attached. None. That is the kind of love that we're commanded to love each other with. As a Christian, as someone who names the name of Christ, are to have the love of Christ. We are to be like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's an attitude of our heart. And many times it's death to ourself. It's not just when I feel like it. As I have loved you, so love you one another, is what Jesus is telling us. You know, I don't think Jesus had great feelings that day that he hung there on the cross again. But he did it anyway. Do you think that those 3 years that Judas walked with Jesus, do you think those 3 years Jesus ever thought, you know, it sure would be better if that fellow wasn't with me? Do you think them thoughts went through his mind? You know, when they were there at the Last Supper and Jesus said, one of you are going to deny me, they couldn't figure out who it was. He didn't treat Judas any different than he treated all the rest. They said, Lord, is it I? Who is it? Who's it going to be? Who's going to deny you, Lord? By the way that Jesus Christ treated Judas, knowing that he was going to deny him, no one ever suspected that he was loved any less than the rest. He was given the bag to carry. He wasn't trusted to have that bag. He wasn't worthy to have that bag. But Jesus allowed him to have it. Allowed him to carry it. What does that all mean? I don't exactly know. I don't exactly know. But it challenges me. If I knew that one of you was going to deny, steal $100,000 or $1 million from me in 3 years from now, And I would know it, and no one else in here would know it. Could you tell by the way I love that person that I know he's going to do something to me? That's how Jesus loved Judas. That's how Jesus loved Judas. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, they couldn't for Jesus. They were asking, "Who is it? Is it I?" You know, again, we live in a world where it's easy to say, "Yeah, I could do that," but my life today proves whether or not I would be such a man by how I love you now. It's not just if it happens, but by how I'm living my life today proves if I'm such a man or not. And that challenges me tremendously. And you know, I know that we could be struggling today with the message because I'm not balancing everything out. What if someone is living in sin? Well, how do we deal with that? And I know that's all there and I agree. But for the sake of the message today, I don't have time to try to balance it all out. Today, the message is to try to see if I'm a disciple. Or we could remember that veneer that we had up here last Sunday. Or if I'm just a veneer Christian. If I'm just a veneer disciple. So do I have the love of Jesus? Do you have the love of Jesus? Or do we respond like Peter did? Who are we? Fifth point we want to look at is, am I a disciple? By the kind of love that I have for each of you is proof that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, or it's proof that I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's one of those two. And again, it's not about just most of you in here. It's about each and every single brother or sister in here. It is not that for the most part I could do that, but for the whole can I do that? Am I a committed learner? Am I a committed student? Am I a committed follower? By my love for you is proof to all the world whether or not that I am, according to the verses that we read here. Is there ever someone that came to you about a church brother, and the man was not a Christian, maybe he was a Christian, maybe he was from somewhere else, and he started unloading to you about a church brother? What is our response? This has happened several times to me. Not someone here unloading about another brother, but I'm talking about somebody from the outside unloading about a brother in here. What is our response? Do I get right on the bandwagon and say a few things myself? What is my response? These things happen. These things happen. By how I respond there, something that has happened in the past proves to the world whether I'm a disciple or not. It proves to the world whether I'm a disciple or not. Do we say things negative, or do they know that I have Jesus' kind of love? I would like to think I'm like Jesus, but I haven't always been. Last week I had something that happened to wasn't really to me, but it included me. When I say this story, I have no intentions at all to lift myself up. But it challenged me tremendously. So there's a place we go and pick up things on a weekly basis. And 99% of the time I take someone with me. And I wasn't there when this happened. I mean, I was there, but not there. I wasn't right there when the young man came to Micah and he started talking to Micah. And I don't remember everything that he said. But these are the words. That challenged me tremendously. He told Micah, I wish that your dad was my father. Now, he doesn't know everything about me. He doesn't know all my shortcomings. By this shall all the world know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Daddies and mommies, when is the last time you've told your children that you love them? You know, we can't fool our children. They know if we love them or not. Jesus is wanting us to show the whole world what it would look like if he was here on earth once more. How are we doing? I'm tremendously challenged. By your love to your children, proves to your children whose disciple that you are. We're on trial. Is there evidence? What is the evidence? Will we love like Jesus loved? Are we going to go all the way? Are we only going 1 mile? The last point, I'll try to not make this too long, is in chapter 14. Verse 17, where he says, maybe I got it wrong. Chapter 14, verse 15, where he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, one of the commandments that we were looking at this morning is that I love you the way that Jesus loved me. That's the commandment that we're looking at this morning. There's others that we could look at, but that's the one that we're looking at this morning. Again, by our response to Jesus' teaching is proof whether we're a disciple of Jesus or whether I am not. I want to turn to John 15, and I want to read the first 17 verses here. I'll try to make this quick. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, in Jesus Christ, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, So shall you be my disciples. An evident thing, if we're a disciple of Jesus Christ or not, is by the fruit that we are bearing. And today we're looking at the Pacific word love. And you can't separate all the fruit. It's one fruit. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If, two-letter word, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I don't know how many times that he uses these words in Scripture, that I command you that you love one another. How do we know, for instance, an apple tree, what kind of fruit will it bring? It brings forth apples. The pear tree brings forth pears. The apricot tree brings forth apricots. We cannot bring forth any kind of fruit that our roots are not attached to. If I am abiding in Jesus Christ, fruit has to come from my life. It's impossible to not bring forth fruit if I'm abiding in Jesus Christ. It is absolutely impossible. But the other is true as well. What is coming from my life? What kind of fruit do we bring? By our deeds, not just by our words. By the carefulness of our lives is proof of our love towards God. The commandment of love. But how we are doing here is proof on how much we love God. I'm going to turn to 1 John. There's several verses there that we're going to look at. And we'll try to not make this too long here. This is John writing again. In chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." And what is the commandment? One of the commandments that we're looking at today is love. Do we know that we know God by how much I love you? Do you know that you are... Sorry. Do we know that we know him? Do you know that you know him by your love for each other? Do you know that? It says here we know that by how we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he says, "He that saith, I know him, and isn't keeping this commandment, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him." How are we doing? Verse 5, it tells us, "But whoso keepeth his word," we're talking about the commandment, "his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." I'm not going to make many comments. These verses speak for themselves. Verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And then from 7 to 11, it's talking about the commandment again. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, the new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him, and in you, because the darkness is past. True light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because he is in darkness, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, these are no suggestions again. These are commandments that God has given us. He's not saying, you know, if you want to have a good life, this is what I suggest you to do. He's saying, no, I command you. This is a commandment that I'm giving unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you. How are we doing? 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that word ought isn't a suggestion again. The word ought means I am obligated to lay down my life for you. And you're obligated to lay down your life for your brothers. That's how strong this word is. It's not just a suggestion. It is, we are absolutely obligated to do so. Chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And the word again is ought. We are obligated to love each other in this way. So back to our text. By this shall all men know if you are my disciples. Sorry, I messed it up. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Is that evidence in me? I'm not saying, can we shake our head yes, and can we agree that this is the way it should be done? But is the evidence the way that I have lived my life up to this point, is there evidence that I love you in that way? How is it? We could talk about other commandments this morning as well, whether or not we love God, but we're going to leave that. I'm going to just briefly go back to our text and reread that scripture again. And it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Does the world know by my love for you whose disciple I am? Absolutely they do. I'm either a disciple of Jesus and the love that he showed, or then I am not. How I relate to you depends on whose disciple I am. Let's strive to have that kind of love. And again, I started out by saying that we will not have any greater love, or we will not have any greater unity in our midst than we have love one for another. Those two go hand in hand. And we all would love to see unity in a greater portion here, but it starts with how we love each other. So I want to leave you with that. God bless you.